Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1 million percent. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code audio.
Welcome, everybody, to the Red Zone Report right here on the Built in Buffalo YouTube, Facebook, and X channels. I'm your host, Izzy, and we're here to talk about free agency and who I think the Bills might be looking to bring in and who some of my favorite free agents are. So I've thought about the positions that we need the most on this team. There's about seven of them. Some of them aren't truly needs, but like maybe needs improvement. But we're going to go over it. So free agency is coming up. The league year starts fairly soon, the combine and all that stuff. So you know what we're going to do. You know exactly what we're going to do. Let's talk about it. Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Izzy, right here on the Built in Buffalo YouTube, X, and Facebook. This is the Red Zone Report, and we talk Buffalo Bills every Sunday that we can. I didn't do the Super Bowl weekend, and the weekend before that I did. The weekend before that I did not. So we're going, as of right now, on every 2 weeks, but I'm trying to bump it back up to every week. So as long as we have content to talk about, we will have a show every Sunday, 7 p.m. Check me out. Like, share, subscribe. Tell your friends. Tell your neighbors. Tell everybody you know. Your man Izzy has some content for you. Now, free agency is around the corner. We have, you know, the NFL draft combine coming up. We have the NFL league year and free agency starting all in March. And it's exciting, you know, because the Buffalo Bills now have a lot of moves to make because we fired head coach Sean McDermott. We promoted offensive coordinator Joe Brady. And we signed Jim Leonard to be the new defensive coordinator. Bobby Babich has departed to Green Bay, and now we have a new DC, which we talked about last show. We are moving from a traditional 4-3 defense, which we operated mostly in a 4-2-5. We're moving to Jim Leonard's scheme, which is a traditional 3-4 defense, but mostly operated in a 2-4-5. So we're going to see what happens here. You know, it could also be a 3-3-5, depending on personnel. But the Bills have a lot of decisions to make with defensive personnel and the offensive line, wide receiver, linebacker, safety. The Bills have a lot of spots that have addressing to be made, right? So we're going to address them. The positions that I selected were wide receiver, offensive line, interior specifically, defensive line, nose tackle specifically, edge rusher, linebacker, safety. And I know I said interior O-line, that's actually two positions, center and guard. With the departure of Connor McGovern and David Edwards, that's two positions there. So I said seven before, I named six. For interior O-line, we need two guys. Potentially. Maybe we have them on our roster. Maybe they believe in Cedric Van Pran Granger and Alec Anderson. I think that they've played well when they've had to be on the field. So they're definitely guys who have been waiting in the wings for their chance to start. Alec Anderson, I believe, is a restricted free agent this offseason. So it would be a minimum to bring him back. And then Cedric Van Pran Granger has been on the team for 2 years or three. And so he would be, I think it's 2 years he's been on the team. And so with him, he's on the contract for at least this year, I think the next 2 years. So sat down for 2 years and then, you know, gets a chance to, you know, win the starting job in his third year. That would be, you know, something nice. Maybe they bring in somebody to compete, or maybe they just, you know, don't think that he has what it takes. Joe Brady is here. He spent time with him, you know, the last couple of years with him and Cromer. Thing with him is he's got short arms, so maybe that's a problem with center. I'm not sure, but we'll see. But going over it, we're gonna go over the guys, and of course right now we are tech not technically, we are actually $7.661 million over the cap. It's $7,661,001 over the cap. And with just a few moves, we can create cap space. And I don't think the Bills are going to create all the cap space all at once. I know that people are hoping for, you know, like the Bills to make big cap saving moves so they can make big moves. They can make the moves as they're negotiating. You know, if they have, you know, a big time wide receiver coming in and they want to pull a couple levers, they can pull a couple levers pretty easily. I'm going to address my usual folks in the comment section. Sandra L. King, always here. Sandra, thank you for being here. God bless and go Bills. Jacob Spears, he was on Facebook and then he moved over to YouTube. So I'll be addressing both of his comments. Hey, Izzy, can you give shout out best friend AVI who's watching with me? Shout out AVI. Hey, Izzy, can you give my best friend Aviana? There we go. Aviana, a shout out who's watching with me. Shout out to Aviana. God bless you, Aviana. All right. Now, the Buffalo Bills can pull some levers here with the cap. And they can go ahead and, where is it? They're going to do some of these things. They're going to restructure Josh Allen. They're probably going to restructure Deion Dawkins. They're probably going to restructure Ed Oliver. And if I do all those, that puts us at $30 million under the cap. Plenty of space to do some moves. And thus, that's just three moves that the Bills can do to make some cap space, thus allowing them to go after some guys. And if they need to free up more space, they're going to be cutting some guys. They're going to be cutting a Taylor Rapp, probably a Curtis Samuel. That's going to free them up to about $40 million. And Taylor Rapp saves about $3.5 million, and then Curtis Samuel saves about $6.5 million. With that being said, you know, you freed up about $40 million. Matter of fact, I'll go ahead in my little calculator here and do that. Curtis Samuel, cut. And Taylor Rapp, cut. Who else do I think is probably going to get cut? Rolling on the list. They could cut Ty Johnson, but I don't think it's going to happen. One of the best third down backs in football. I want to make sure I'm doing just the for sure moves that I think are going to happen. Tyler Grable, no. Mecole Hardman, I think he's going to be in camp. And he doesn't cost us anything guaranteed-wise. Maybe Nick Broeker, but I think he'll get a chance to compete. Zion Logue, I think he's going to be in the mix to be a backup nose tackle. So, yeah, with those moves done, the Bills sit at $39.314 million. Plenty of room to work with to start free agency. And if they need to do some more stuff, they got more guys they can restructure if they want to. I don't think they're going to do it all at once. I think it's going to be kind of a, you know, pull the lever preferably as you go and see how that goes. Because you don't want to kick all the money down the road and then, you know, not get guys. Right, you want to make sure that you're pulling the amount of levers you need to get the guys. Now, the first player on my list is a wide receiver. Right, yeah. Bills fans and everybody else have been saying the Buffalo Bills need wide receivers. Right, we need them. So, first guy on my list, and I don't know how popular it is with the Bills fans. I've seen his name in circles, but he's probably my favorite wide receiver because of his age, because of his skill set, and that is wide receiver Alec Pierce from the Indianapolis Colts. Alec Pierce is 6'3", 211. He's 25 years old. The dude had over 1,000 yards this year. He has 1,003 and 6 touchdowns. And the dude didn't even have that many catches. He had 47 receptions. Okay? 47 receptions, 1,003 yards, 6 touchdowns. He only had one drop. He was targeted 83 times, but, you know, Daniel Jones and Richardson, and then Carson Wentz was a Viking, I think. Flacco, I think, was there. The Colts quarterback room was a mess, and this dude put up 47 catches for 1,006 touchdowns. That's crazy. 21.3 yards per catch. yards after the catch or yards after catch per reception. So average 4 yards after the catch. Passer rating when targeted 113.7. He made them bums look good. Now he is. I'm on PFF because they have the stats and they have grades. PFF grade is a 79.3, receiving grade an 81.0. So he was ranked 19th overall and 16th for receiving. I like the kid. I like his skill set. He's a field stretcher. And personally, I think that the kid can really make a difference in Buffalo. We saw what we did with an older, aging Brandon Cooks. And I'm not against bringing him back too, but he's going to be more of a minimum guy. He's not someone I'm looking forward to for the future of the team. He's somebody I'd be looking forward to for this season, maybe this season and next. And then that's about it. Cause he's like 33 years old. So I'm all for bringing back Brandon Cooks. And in fact, that might be the first move I make just because it's not a lot of money, right? It's just, he's a number two receiver at this point in his career. Probably you go out there, you get Alex Pierce. Maybe you draft somebody, but if you get an Alex Pierce, you might not draft anybody. You might just stick with Alex Pierce. So Alex Pierce is my favorite guy at wide receiver in this free agent class. George Pickens was up there, but George Pickens got franchise tagged by the Cowboys, and I'm not trading, you know, a first-round pick for a guy on a one-year rental, and then we're going to have to pay him $30 to $35 million a year. Nah, I'm sorry. Now, the Cowboys had signed him and then wanted to offload him. That's one thing, but that never happens that way. You know, if you sign a receiver this year, it almost never happens to where you trade him the next year. Stephon Diggs almost never happens, but it does happen. I'd be willing as a fan to accept that if that was the case, but it's not. Alec Pierce, go get him. Go get him, because money-wise, SpotTrack has him at like $20 million a year, $22 million a year. If he's the number one receiver, go get him. Make it happen. I like Alec Pierce. Other wide receivers that you could look at potentially are, Deebo Samuel is a free agent. I'll pass on that. Mike Evans is a free agent. I would consider that. He's older, 33 years old. I still think he's had 1,000 yards in every single season he's had. So, yeah, Mike Evans. Christian Kirk is a slot guy, so I don't think that he's somebody who we're going to be targeting. Same with Tutu Atwell. I think Marquise Brown's a guy they could look at if they didn't want to go with Brandon Cooks. You can go after a Hollywood Brown. Juwan Jennings is very interesting at wide receiver. If they wanted to bring some, you know, experience into the room, DeAndre Hopkins is out there. I'm not sure how interested the Bills will be in that. I think he still has hands, and the Ravens really just misused him last year. He got open a lot. I saw him get open a lot. He did not get targeted a lot. A lot of those targets were forced to Zay Flowers and spacing on the other guy's name. Doesn't matter. But, yeah, they forced the ball to their other receivers. And, you know, there it is. And Mark Andrews as well. But DeAndre Hopkins is an option, potentially. Not really high on my list, but he's there. And then if you look down the list further, you got Khalif Raymond, Jahan Dotson, Greg Dortch, Noah Brown. Noah Brown maybe is a guy you bring and take a look at. But, you know, 2 years ago, hot commodity. Now that he's been away for 2 years, you know, he wasn't here before, but he left the Texans, and he ended up on the Commanders, and he had that nice year for Jaden Daniels' first season. But then this year, Jaden Daniels gets hurt, and he basically disappears. He's 30 years old. Rashid Shaheed's out there. He's interesting. He's probably going to get re-signed by Seattle. Seattle's got a lot of money for a team that just won a Super Bowl. So Rashid Shaheed's an option. Keenan Allen, if you want to bring in, again, another older vet who is good at route running, he could be a guy who assists Keon Coleman with his career, being that they're similar type of receivers. But Keenan Allen's a route running wizard, so that gives Keon Coleman someone to work with. Josh Reynolds, Tim Patrick, Zay Jones, Tyler. Yeah. Wandale Robinson is one that interests me. Wandale Robinson is potentially a guy. He had over 1,000 yards this past year on a Giants team that was totally inept of everything. except losing. Like, they were just god awful. I'm gonna pull up his numbers real quick. This is a guy who's really underrated, I think, in his potential and what he actually brings to the table. He's 5'8", 185, so he's not going to be, you know, a big X like a lot of people want. But, you know, big X's don't really matter like that because Jaxon Smith-Njigba. But here go the numbers. He was a 70.2 overall PFF grade. He had 1,014 yards this year. He had 4 touchdowns on the Giants. On the Giants. He was in for 588 snaps. He got 131 targets. He had 92 receptions. Average per reception was 11. And passer rating when targeted, 96.7. He made them bums look good too, like Alec Pierce. So Wandale Robinson is another guy who I think that the Bills could potentially look at. But, yeah, I think that very possible. Very possible. Check to see if you're muted, buddy, because my lady Sandra says I sound fine. So usually when I see that and I don't see anybody respond, I'll pull up my phone and pull up my own stream. But yeah, it's audio's up apparently. But check your volume. Check your volume. But yeah, Wandale Robinson is another guy who fascinates me a little bit. Average depth of target, 9 yards. He had, 5 rushing yards on 3 carries, so I'm guessing end arounds or something like that. Wandale Robinson is a guy I like. So that's wide receiver in a nutshell. Alec Pierce is the guy who I prefer in free agency if that's the route they take. If they say, hey, we're going to get a free agent and then, you know, a free agent number one and then another guy to be the number two, fine. Or if they want to go get a free agent, you know, number two, like Brandon Cooks, and then draft the number one, then you have a, you know, guy who's going to be your number one that's a rookie, which, you know, is not necessarily ideal for everybody. But if you have a Brandon Cooks on the team to help school up said rookie, you'll be fine. So there's that right there. Like, if you go get re-sign Brandon Cooks or you go get a Mike Evans and then you draft somebody like the Buccaneers did last year, they drafted Emeka Egbuka. They had Mike Evans on the team, schooling up Emeka Egbuka. Emeka Egbuka looked good last year. He didn't start initially, but once Godwin goes down and Evans goes down, starter. And he was a first-round pick, so he should have been the first one on the field once one of those two guys got hurt anyway, and he was. But he was, you know, looked at as mostly a slot receiver coming out of college. So you go get you an Alec Pierce or an older veteran who can still play, That's the key. Who can still play, be your number one or your number two, and then go draft in the first or second round your next wide receiver. Because between rounds one and the beginning of round three, loaded with wide receivers, loaded with them. I've been on Chris Bell for a long time, and then I found out that he tore his ACL. So, you know, that's probably a no-go. But, you know, guys like Denzel Boston, Casey Concepcion, who I found out was born in Rochester, New York. He's born in my hometown. He's Puerto Rican like me. He ended up moving to Charlotte. I live in North Carolina. Like I like that. You know, it kind of tickles my fancy a little bit. But granted, I know that it's not supposed to be about any of that stuff. It's supposed to be about, you know, the player, how good they are, and how can we use them. That's really what it is. But he checks those boxes too. So how cool would it be if he ends up, you know, back, you know, in his home region where he was born and plays ball? That'd be pretty cool to me. I think that's pretty awesome. Now, looking at, you know, the next position, because I've been on wide receiver for a while, because I know it's a position that we really need to address, and the fans especially feel that way. I know that Brandon Bean had the whole wide receiver WGR conversation where he chewed those guys out basically for, as he said, bitching about something, and, you know, the Bills put up 30 points per game, and they did that same thing this past year. They put up like 29 or 28.5 points per game this year. With these bum wide receivers that people would say, with the exception of Khalil Shakir, while I think receiver is important, I think it's going to be lower on the priority totem pole than some of these other positions because new defense. And so some of these guys ain't going to fit. is when they, you don't try and fit a, you know, square peg in a round hole. It's just not how it works. So we're going to get off wide receiver. We're going to move on to my next position of need for the Buffalo Bills, and that is defensive tackle. Now, we have a bunch of defensive tackles on the team. We have Dwayne Carter. We have TJ Sanders and Deion Walker, who's, you know, 340 pounds, 6'7". We have Ed Oliver. We have, you know, some DTs on this roster, but we do not have a nose tackle. We don't have a big fat bastard to plug the middle. We don't have it. Now, you go get a DJ Reader, 6'3", 335 pounds of him. He's 31 years old, so you want to also probably try and draft somebody. Or, like I mentioned before, Zion Logue is on the team, and he is another big fat kid who could spell DJ Reader for a year. Then you draft somebody because you want to have some guys along that D-line who can maybe play both, you know, 4-I, 5-tech, and then if they can play both of those and also contribute at nose tackle, that might be something that, to look at. But DJ Reader would be a guy who can play right now. Overall grade, 68.5. Pass rush grade, 71.8. And what are we looking for here? Pass rush, right? The most important thing we look for is pass rush. We also want to stop the run. But if you look at it, the entire Bills' defensive problems stem from the defensive line. Not being able to create a pass rush on the edges and not being able to stop the run in the middle. So what do? You go get you a big fat bastard in the middle. Bam. Nose tackle. You surround him with Ed Oliver and Deion Walker, and you rotate TJ Sanders in with those guys. That rotation, plus if Dwayne Carter comes back and can play and is okay in the system, you got yourself some firepower on the defensive line. A guy like DJ Reader is really good. Now, he didn't have any sacks this year. He had 18 tackles, 12 assists, and I think he played out of position this year. With the Lions, I believe they had him at 4-I. He was actually on the edge, not the edge, but on the end of the defensive line on a three-man front. In the Buffalo Bills scheme, I think he would play nose tackle. So DJ Reader is a guy who I am very interested in for the Buffalo Bills. Safety, we're getting there, John. You know. And Eric, welcome back. I saw you. John Robert, yeah, safety is also a need. I got some players for safety. I got 10 total guys that I'm going to go through. And so we've been through wide receiver, defensive tackle now. And looking at the defensive tackle market, I did it for wide receiver, so I'm going to be fair. I'm going to keep it, you know, keep it a buck with you guys. A lot of the guys on the market are not nose tackles, right? DJ Reader, Daquan Jones, who I doubt is back. Sebastian Joseph Day could play nose tackle. He's a big guy. And he's only 31. Here's the thing. Sebastian Joseph Day was on the Bills roster like 2-3 years ago, and I thought he was like 34. I thought it was like 34 years old. The man's 31 now. I was off by like 6 years. That's crazy. Sebastian Joseph Day is another guy who's interesting. Roy Lopez from the Lions, another guy who actually did play nose, I believe, for the Lions. He was like a backup nose to Ali McNeil. Another guy you could bring in, Shelby Harris of the Browns, could possibly come in. Tim Settle could come back. He fits more of the nose tackle role than he did a 4-3, you know, one tech. You put him in at nose tackle, all of a sudden he becomes a problem. And this is a new defense. You know, his time with the Bills before does not have to influence his time with the Bills now if he comes back. Tim Settle is another guy who's interesting. So, yeah, there's guys out there. And another one is Kyrus Tonga of the Patriots. Those are the guys in free agency that are potential nose tackles that I'm actually interested in at all. And just to be funny, there's also another defensive tackle out there named Naquan Jones. He was on the Texans last year. I looked this guy up. Naquan Jones. He was on the Titans and the Texans, so he's 6'4", 340. Maybe they bring him in for, you know, a camp body, and if he lights it up, you know, so be it. But they're going to bring in bodies. They're going to throw some bodies at this nose tackle spot and see what, you know, what gives, because nose tackle is now a need, and it hasn't been since Rex Ryan, right? When we played Kyle Williams at nose, but the thing is, Kyle Williams was like 305 pounds. He put on 10 pounds to be like 315. He's not a nose tackle traditionally, but he's so damn good that he could play nose tackle. That's what Kyle Williams was. He's so good, he could play nose tackle at that small size. The bigger guy, Marcell Dareus, played one tech, Five tech. It's crazy, man. That's wild. But yeah, nose tackle. It says DT, but I mean nose tackle. I think we all know that. But the next position, as my man John Roberts said, is a safety. Is a safety. Safety Jalen Thompson from the Cardinals, Arizona. Now, this guy, very interesting because he played on a team that sucked last year. In fact, most of the guys that I have, if not all of them, were on teams that did not make the playoffs. But that does not diminish the actual talent, skill, and importance of the player, right? You can be a good player on a crappy team, you know, like Josh Allen's rookie year. He was a talented player on a trash team. Now, Jalen Thompson, overall PFF grade 68.7, took 978 snaps on defense. Coverage grade 69.2. Pass rush grade 60.5. Run defense grade 63.2. That puts him in the green in everything except pass rush. We got Cole Bishop for that if we want to rush a safety. Cole Bishop's our blitzing safety, but 60.5 isn't bad. It's not bad for a blitzing safety. Now, he didn't record any interceptions this year. Teams probably stood away from him with the ball. He allowed a passer rating of 98.4. So decent. Decent. He's a guy I think the Bills could target and have as the deep safety. Let Cole Bishop roam around like he's supposed to do. Cole Bishop is not supposed to be your deep safety. He's supposed to be your in the box. He can play deep too, so he's interchangeable. But you go get a guy who really, really, really is good in coverage, and you let Cole Bishop roam, that's a problem for opposing offenses. Now, I'm going to give his height, weight, and age. He is 5'11", 190 pounds, 27 years old. And yes, John Robert, I saw your question. But he's 27. He's 5'11", 190. He's good size and height. He played at Washington State, so he's a Coug. He's one of the guys I like. I really do like Jalen Thompson. Now, if we look at free agency also, there's other guys out there who are interesting, but when I look up their numbers and what they did, I was less impressed. You know, I like Kyle Duggar, but that'll give us two, you know, guys who probably should be playing in the box. I know Kyle Duggar can play deep, but yeah, you know, Andre Cisco with the Jets. I like him from his Syracuse days. The Jets suck. So, you know, maybe his talent was wasted there. Kevin Byard, he's 33, but he still was very productive for the Bears this past year, so he's interesting. Alohi Gilman from the Ravens, Geno Stone from the Bengals, Cameron Curl, solid. P.J. Locke. P.J. Locke is more of a box guy, too. I was looking at his numbers and where he plays a lot. He basically played for Ufanga when Ufanga was hurt. So when Talanoa Lufanga got hurt, P.J. Locke was the guy who stepped in there. Julian Blackman I like, but he resigned with the Saints. Reed Blankenship with the Eagles, also another box safety. So a lot of these guys are guys who don't play deep safety. They play more down low. Jaquan Brisker, solid guy. There's guys out there, but, you know, Chuck Clark. But if I remember correctly, he's also more of a box guy. You know, former Baltimore Raven, he's currently on the Steelers roster until that, you know, ship sails. There's also always Terrell Edmonds, but, you know, Tony Jefferson with the Chargers, though, that dude is a hitter. But again, I want somebody who can cover, right? Because our linebackers and our defensive line are the ones that are supposed to get pressure, right? And of course, with Jim Leonard's scheme, we saw the Broncos. They blitz safeties too. But I imagine that being Cole Bishop because he's so freaking fast off the jump. He's like, I don't know if you've seen Cole Bishop's sacks or if you remember them. You guys are Bills fans, so you've most likely seen them. He is so freaking fast jumping the snap. When he sees that ball go, he is like a bullet out of a gun, just gone. Cole Bishop is the guy who I believe should be blitzing it from safety most of the time. See, with what cash? Rookie is cheap, but these dudes cost cash. So if you were here for the, from the beginning, I showed how the Bills can make about $40 million under the cap with like five moves. You restructure Josh Allen. You restructure Ed Oliver. You restructure Deion Dawkins. You cut Taylor Rapp, and you cut Curtis Samuel. I still have that window open, so here we go. With those moves, the Buffalo Bills would have $39.314 million under the cap. So they would have that much to spend. And again, remember, I'm not saying the Bills make all of these moves. These are just guys who I'm interested in. So I'm not saying we're going to get Alex Pierce. We're going to go get DJ Reader. Then we're going to go get Jalen Thompson. Like, we're not getting all of these guys. We may not get any of these guys. These are just the guys who I think the Bills should target. See, Cameron Curl is young and can grow. I think so too. But, you know, PJ Locke. Yep, I see a spin. I like PJ Locke, but I like him more in the box. I like him more in the box. And I want, that's where I want Cole Bishop. I want Cole Bishop down there snagging, you know, interceptions in the flats like he did against Jacksonville. I want him, you know, blitzing the passer. I want him, you know, getting TFLs. I want Cole Bishop to be doing stuff like that. See, we're getting Crosby and Jefferson. Let's go. So we get Max Crosby and you said Jefferson. Oh, Justin Jefferson. Oh, you out of your damn mind. We getting both? You're talking about Justin Jefferson. You're talking about, if you're talking about Justin Jefferson, don't just put his last name. Put Jettas because it's kind of a common, not super common, but I just talked about a guy named Jefferson, you know? All right, so moving on to my next potential free agent acquisition for the Buffalo Bills. Oop, hang on. Is edge rusher Malcolm Kuntz of the Raiders. Now, I know what you guys are thinking. The Raiders are hot ass. The Raiders are garbage. Now, again, just because the team sucks doesn't mean the player does. Now, his PFF grade's a 58, so not great. 501 snaps, 35 pressures. He got five sacks for the Raiders, okay? That team, hot garbage. 15 solo tackles, 7 assists, 1 forced fumble, 18 stops, 5 sacks, 22 hurries, 8 QB hits, 35 total pressures, right? Going down the list there. They have pressures at the top two and then didn't have sacks there, which is asinine for an edge rusher. He is 6'2", 250 pounds. He's 27 years old. He's not a high priority guy, but he's a guy who's young, right? 27, still young, coming off his rookie contract. Produced a little bit for the Raiders. Play with nobody next to him. There's no parts of the Raiders team that you can look at and be like, man, the guys around him helped him out. Except for maybe him helping the guy next to him out. And that guy sucks so bad that he couldn't take advantage of it. This guy right here, I think, could be much better in the right place. You get him on a defensive, you get him on the edge with an Ed Oliver and a TJ Sanders. And heck, even the guy I named before, DJ Reader, like you get him with a true defensive line in front of him and get him rushing with true help, with guys who can actually play. And I think Malcolm Kuntz could be a weapon for the Buffalo Bills defense. So he gets two pressures a game. Yeah, I'm not sure how much he really played. He looks like he took 501 snaps. Let's see what percentage of this count that is, I guess. Let me see. Premium stats. Let's see. Snap counts. So he was out for 483. So he took about 50% of the snaps. John Franklin Myers would be a great fit, but he's not an edge rusher. He's a defensive end in this scheme. So he'd play 5-tech or 4-I. Which basically means you either line up on the tackle, or like I think it's 4-I, you line up between on the Yeah, four Ayulet, it's between the tackle and the guard. And five tech is like just outside of the tackle shoulder or right on the tackle, one of the two. I'm still learning the 3-4, but I know that they're both the ends, right? You have your nose tackle, then you have your four eye, and you have your five tech. It depends on where you're aligned along the offensive line. See, Shaq Thompson is 31, date of birth 4/21. So we're not to linebacker yet, and I didn't name him. I named all new people here. Now, my preferred guys at certain positions would be for the Bills to return some starters. But for the sake of changing it up, this is my list of free agents. Now, if you look at other defensive ends, so look at edge rushers, guys like Trey Hendrickson, Khalil Mack, Hassan Reddick, Joey Bosa, they're all out there. They're all out there, right? Some of those guys are available. Yetus Gross-Matos is out there. Samson Ebukam is out there. Most of these guys are either old. Trey Hendrickson's 31. He'll be 32 this year. He's 32. Khalil Mack's 35. I know a lot of people want Trey Hendrickson, but do you guys really want to sign up for Von Miller 2.0 here? He was injured last year, and we'd be looking to go get this guy who's injured last year. He's 32. I don't know if I'm interested in that. Khalil Mack's 35. He had solid production this past year. He's a guy you could bring in for a one-year deal if you want to, like a Joey Bosa deal. Hassan Reddick is out there. He's another guy you could do that to. He's also 32 years old. Joey Bosa's 31. Malcolm Kuntz is about to be 28. He's not 28 yet. Leonard Floyd's out there if you want to sign up for that again. I don't mind that. He played well for the Falcons this past year. He played well for the Niners the year before that. He played well for us the year before that. So he's a guy, you know, one of those hired guns that you go out there and get. Danico Autry, Arden Key, Joseph Asai, DJ Wanham. None of these guys really interest me below Malcolm Kuntz on the list. AJ Epenesa is out there, but I think that ship has sailed because he doesn't have the speed to rush off the edge in a 3-4. He would have to gain some of that weight back and move into 4-eye or 5-tech, and we've got guys already. So that's going to be weird. Dante Fowler Jr. is out there. Maybe you go after someone like him. Joe Tryon-Shoyenka, Kyle Van Noy, interesting name there. He's 35 years old, but still fairly productive. Jalen Phillips, is he really going to hit the market? I don't know. The Eagles are usually pretty good at not letting their guys get away. But like there's guys out there. Adafe Owe, another guy out there, potential. But he was on the Ravens, which is a really good defensive team, and I've just haven't not been impressed by him. So Malcolm Kuntz is the guy who I looked at, checked out his grades and how he actually plays and how he beats his man when he plays. You know, and it was with the Raiders. So if you got one guy coming off the edge over here, and your quarterback's like, oh. Somebody got free and then navigates the pocket, which is still perfectly clean except for that one guy who got free and then the running back picked him up or something. Not his fault that the rest of his guys suck. There it is. Now, the next guy I have is a linebacker. He's an older linebacker. He's a tank of a linebacker. I don't remember him being hurt in my lifetime. And he's my little brother's age. So, Bobby Wagner of the Commanders. Bring him on a one-year deal. Would I prefer Shaq Thompson? Yes, because I know Shaq Thompson is going to be less expensive. We just saw Shaq Thompson go through a year with minimal injuries. But minimal is one thing. If I bring in a Bobby Wagner, maybe I also bring in a Shaq Thompson to play Mike. And then you move Terrell Bernard, and you move Dorian Williams to Will. Got a burp coming. It's not coming fast enough. To Will, and then that's your interior inside linebacker room. Maybe you have, you know, another guy like a Joe Andreessen there who also might get a shot to play some middle linebacker. This is his thing. This is his scheme. Back from Bryant University. Go Bills. What's up, Chris? Welcome back. So I wouldn't mind bringing in a couple of older fellas at linebacker because those guys last. I mean, if you look at the top linebackers in this free agent class, Levante David, 36 years old. Bobby Wagner, 36 years old. Demario Davis, 37 years old. Kenneth Murray is 28. Played for the Cowboys, but I looked at his numbers and his win rates and all that stuff, and it was not good. Caden Ellis, Falcons. Okay. The Falcons were good, but he wasn't starting for them, if I remember correctly. Matt Milano. He's out there. We could bring him back. He's not a mic, though. He's not really a big vocal communicator, so he'd be bringing in another Will. So if they want to load up six linebackers for the season, you have Matt Milano, Terrell Bernard, and Dorian Williams at Will, and then you have Shaq Thompson, Bobby Wagner, and Buffalo Joe at Mike. I mean, I don't know if there's room for that many linebackers on this defense because we've now moved away from a scheme that carries that many linebackers. Granted, last year we only played two linebackers on the field most of the time, too. All the years with McDermott, we usually only played two linebackers on the field because we ran a 4-2-5 90% of the time. So Taron Johnson was basically that third linebacker, and still a lot of these guys saw the field. So I don't know how they want to navigate this linebacker position, but Bobby Wagner would be a dog in the middle of a 3-4 defense running downhill and smashing running backs. Because what's he known for? Run stopping. Run stopping. This man knows how to stop the run. So Bobby Wagner, he is 6 foot. He is 241 pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal. Man's 35 years old right now. He'll be 36 when the season starts. He had 107 tackles at the great age of 35. He ran 1,132 snaps with a PFF grade of 79.3. Coverage grade 52.3, which is not great, but it's also not bad. He's averaging coverage. Run defense grade, 90.3. Pass rush grade, 92.4. This man is a dog still. He had 5 sacks from inside linebacker. Inside linebacker, 107 tackles. Again, those were all solo tackles. Those were not total tackles, solo tackles. He had another 51 assisted tackles. He was 7th in the NFL in solo tackles. 52 stops. He missed 8 tackles on the year. The dude had 159 tackles. He missed 8. Passer rating allowed 106. Total pressures 20. Bobby Wagner is a dude that you could bring in to play linebacker for the Buffalo Bills this year, and it's not a problem at all. I like me some Bobby Wagner. Yeah, I already went over the linebackers. So, next guy I'm looking at, next position to need, offensive line, interior offensive line. As of right now, I'm behaving as if we're losing David Edwards and Connor McGovern. Those two guys I would prefer to bring back. I would prefer to have the offensive line be exactly what it was because it's been good the last 2 years. It's been a strength of this team, and there's going to be a major change. If you lose 2/5 of that unit, if they bring back one of those guys, I'd be happy. But, you know, if they don't, there are some guys out there who I do like and would love to see the Buffalo Bills pursue and sign. The first one is from the Raiders, which, again, another one of their only bright spots, is left guard Dylan Parham from the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, again, Raiders sucked. But this dude, 63.6 overall grade on the Raiders, 63.1 run blocking grade, 62.3 pass blocking grade. He's a very balanced offensive lineman. He was 41st in the league in both of those amongst all guards, not just left guards, but all guards. 41st in run blocking and pass blocking, and he was 38th among all guards. And that's on that terrible Raiders offensive line that got Geno Smith hammered a lot. He took 843 offensive snaps. He had 5 penalties, and he allowed 6 sacks. Now, I think that with Deion Dawkins next to him, that number gets helped out quite a bit. Hits allowed. He only allowed 5 QB hits outside of those. And we all know how big of a dumpster fire the Raiders were. This is the second coach in a row that they fired after 1 year of being the head coach. Kind of a joke of an organization. Now, when I look at the other players at that position, talking about left guard, you've got Joel Bitonio, but he's going to be expensive. You've got Isaac Seumalo, who I loved a couple years back. He's the guy who I wanted the Bills to target. You have John Simpson of the Jets. Keep clear from Jets. I know I just said that, what about the Raiders guy, right? But I don't know if I want to bring that over here. I'm gonna look up his numbers just because. PFF. John Simpson. Exactly what I thought. Not as good. 59 or 56 overall grade, 56.9, so 57. Run blocking, 56.7. Pass blocking, 62.0. So he'd protect Josh, but he wouldn't be able to get open holes for James Cook. Give me the Raider. Zion Johnson from the Chargers. No, their line was. But David Edwards, I'll take him all day. All day, give me David Edwards. Yeah. Just not a lot of guys who I would take over freaking Dylan Parham or David Edwards. Those are the two guys who I'd like to see either back with the Bills, David Edwards, or new to the Bills. So you keep Bosa, renegotiate his contract with less guaranteed money, incentive laden, and a fair signing bonus. His sack numbers were lower, but his hurries, line stops, interference was good, almost great given his injuries. If he's healthy, his numbers should go up. So if I remember correctly, when he played in the 3-4 for the Chargers, he played on the line. He didn't play outside. He was basically what Bruce Smith was for the Bills. He played defensive end in a 4-3, and he played defensive end in a 3-4. Didn't matter. He was on the line, hand in the dirt. And I think that's the same thing with Joey Bosa. We got guys already. Now, could he be a bendy guy on the edge? Maybe. But he's more of a bull rushing kind of guy. Maybe you bring him in as a run defender. It's possible. I do like Joey Bosa. I'm not against bringing him back. For the right price, bring him back. Give him a shot. He does have some void years, so bringing him back would actually potentially save the Bills some money in the long run. So I'm not against it. I'm just not counting on it. You know what I'm saying? See, Bobby Wagner is old. He is old. And he still had a great year, Jacob. I'm talking about bringing Bobby Wagner in for 1 year, maybe two. You draft a guy. You bring in first, second, third, maybe fourth round linebacker. And have him, you know, learn under Bobby Wagner. Bobby Wagner is a dog. He's been a dog everywhere he went. See, they might re-sign Alec Anderson to play guard. That's true, too. So I did mention that a little earlier in the show. They may, when I was listing off the positions that I thought were needs, and I did say they may feel like Cedric Vanpran Granger and Alec Anderson may be the heir apparents to Connor McGovern and David Edwards. That's very possible. And so I'm not against that either. I just don't know what their thought process is. I'm not in the building. Neither are you guys. You know, so we're all just being fans here and putting together potential possible outcomes that could happen in Buffalo and on or in the work site, on the team or in the city. It doesn't matter really. But when you're looking at the Buffalo Bills and the way Brandon Bean's done things, he has liked to keep guys in-house. But he also, at times, has known when to get up off guys. Sometimes he doesn't, right? Sometimes he just holds on to him for a little too long. I still love you, buddy. I still love you. And then, but I like Alec Anderson. He played well at tackle for us. He had a couple penalties because of the nerves, but he was in there out of position at tackle, and he smoked whoever was on the outside, rushing or, you know, whenever we were running the ball, he was holding it down on that right side. On those James Cook runs, when James cooked the Steelers. I like Alec Anderson, so I'm not against that either. You know, I just don't know what their plan is. And if they do decide, all right, we're going to go with the youth movement. We're going to go Alec Anderson, Cedric Vanpran Granger. Let's get younger. Let's get cheaper and put these guys in there. And we'll bring in some competition from the draft or from free agency, bring in some guys who, you know, can compete, and we'll see what happens, right? And that's very possible. Very possible. We would need a new sixth man, Tylan Grable. That's what Grable's for, man. Now, The next position, the next guy, interior offensive line, just not guard, center, Tyler Linderbaum, Baltimore Ravens. Now, this is the name a lot of you guys can get behind, right? Because while the Ravens did not make the playoffs, and I did mention that most, if not all, these guys are on teams that did not make the playoffs in 2025, not all of them are on teams that are complete total dumpster fires, right? Example number one, right? Or number two, excuse me. Number one was Alec Pierce from the Colts and DJ Reader of the Lions. So, excuse me, number three, Tyler Linderbaum, team that just barely didn't make the playoffs, was in the playoffs last year, though, Baltimore Ravens, center Tyler Linderbaum. And tell you what, I don't know if he's going to hit the free agent market, man. But if he does, sign me up. PFF grade, 80.3. Run blocking grade, 83.7. Pass blocking grade, 83.4. The dude had five penalties. He snapped the ball 1,007 times. He only allowed two sacks. Dude is 25 years old, 6'2", 305 pounds. It's a big center. He only allowed one QB hit outside of the two sacks. He allowed 26 pressures. Dude played well. He's a good player. He's a damn good player. I would love to have a Tyler Linderbaum on his team. If he's available and the Ravens don't re-sign him, and, you know, as of right now, over the cap values him at $6.292 million a season, sign me up. Sign me up. Now, they could franchise tag him. They could, you know, re-sign him. I don't know what their cap space is looking like, but maybe they want to move on. They got a new head coach. They're going to have a new offensive coordinator. So who's this guy going to want to bring in? Is he going to want to bring in this, you know, center who may not fit his, you know, blocking scheme? Maybe not. You know, there's other guys out there too. Will Clapp's out there. Remember him? But my preference would be Connor McGovern. You know, all jokes aside, Connor McGovern would be my preference. Then Tyler Linderbaum, because I know exactly what Connor McGovern looks like in this system. But Tyler Linderbaum's a dog, man. He's a dog. I wouldn't mind bringing him in at all. I'm no offensive line expert, so those are the two guys I'm sticking with. Let's see. Do people really think that new management in Minnesota is going to give up their best player? I don't see it happening. If they did that, would be one way for the whole entire Minnesota Viking franchise to hate him. I would love Justin Jefferson, just don't see it coming. I don't either. I love Justin Jefferson, and if the Bills wanted him, they should have drafted him themselves. We traded for Stephon Diggs. It was a win-win move for the time being. We had four really, really, really good years, great years of Diggs. Three great years and then one good year. But I'm telling you, man, like, Joey, you're not wrong at all. Like, I agree with the statement in its entirety. They would be idiots to do that unless their intention is to start from scratch because they missed on the quarterback, which is possible. This is where my fight against you would go if I was to argue with you, right? If I was to argue with you on this, I would potentially trade Justin Jefferson, get the 2-3 first-round picks, whatever it's going to take to get him, and you start the rebuild now. You start the rebuild now. They fired their GM, so the guy who drafted Mike McCarthy is, or J.J. McCarthy, excuse me, is. And, you know, you're losing some of your key players. I think they're up against the cap, but I'm not positive. But, man, they, like, it's possible, but I think it's very unlikely. Like, you're probably right. You're probably 100% correct. My only pushback is that they decide that it's time to blow it up, start over again. Because if they were to cut Justin Jefferson, which is never going to happen, they're never going to cut him. It's like a $72 million cap hit, but if they trade him, it's like $45. So maybe they decided they want to eat the $45 million cap hit, get three first-round picks, say, you know what? We're going to use these picks to move up in the draft, move back in the draft, whatever it is, acquire as many picks as we can so that way we can, you know, do some damage and rebuild this roster because their roster is going to need rebuilding soon. See, Wagner is good against the run. Yes, sir. Welcome back, William McMillian. See, we don't have Connor McGavin money. We are broke. No, we're not. Okay. So, Joey, you got to rewatch the show. Five moves, $40 million. So, the Buffalo Bills cut Curtis Samuel, cut Taylor Rapp, restructure Deion Dawkins, restructure Ed Oliver, restructure Josh Allen, and we're at $39.9 million under the cap. We got money. We don't have it right now. It's not liquid yet, but they have the means to make that money happen. Justin Jefferson is going to require a big haul of draft picks. He is very well going to do that. And that's the only reason why I could see them moving on from Justin Jefferson is if they decide that, hey, we're wasting his career. It's, you know, the roster's, you know, falling apart. We shot our shot. It didn't work out. And there's nothing we can do. Our GM poorly built these contracts. So we have to eat big money to get rid of people. And so just to acquire as much potential young talent, we're going to, you know, trade off our best player for draft picks so that way we can use them to move around and get more draft picks and more players and, you know, shoot our shots at these youngsters because the shot of the old guys is not working now and the money isn't working. And so they need to do what we need to do just on a bigger scale. They need to get younger, faster, and cheaper. But at the same time, maybe Justin Jefferson doesn't want to be there for a rebuild. Maybe I don't think he does. Why would he want to be? You gonna sign me up for losing for 3 years, Coach? The hell no! Send me to Josh Allen, send me to Mahomes, send me to, you know, Justin Herbert. Send me somewhere, but not here. If you guys are doing that shit, pardon my French. See, that drafted, they drafted an O-line player from Oklahoma higher the year DK came out. That OL didn't say, yeah. You talking about Ford, Cody Ford? Yeah, they drafted Cody Ford. Who was highly touted coming out of Oklahoma? Was not a fit in Buffalo's offensive scheme, and then that might have ruined his career, but he's still starting in the NFL from what I understand. He started this year. I just don't remember what team it was. Might have been the Commanders. I've got to look for him. Damn it. Damn it, Bobby. Yeah, the Vikings are way up against the cap. The Vikings are $40 million in the hole. Jeez. Let's see. Cody Ford, right guard. Yeah, he started for the Bengals this year. Wow. Bring back memories. So they called Dawkins' agent. He said he's not willing. What do you mean? I don't know what you mean. If you're talking about pay cut, that's one thing. Restructure is not a pay cut. Restructures are built into their contracts, right? So it means like in this year, we, you know, potentially pull this lever and you get a big fat check for your base salary. They convert that salary into a signing bonus and then it spreads out amongst among the rest of the years of your contract. They can totally do that and he doesn't even have to be a part of that. They don't have to ask him or anything. Now, if you talk about a pay cut, that's a different thing. He's not willing to take a pay cut. But a restructure, he can't do anything about that. They'll just say, we're going to restructure you. That's it. He doesn't have to sign that. They just give him a check. Here's your money. Vikings would have too much dead cap. Nah, they could pull some levers too. They got guys that they can get rid of. They got guys that they can restructure for now to alleviate that. And then once the dead cap from Justin Jefferson comes off the books next year, and a bunch of other guys, they have ways to do it. See, plus Minnesota has cap problems. They do. They do have cap problems. The Ford contract just ended with the Bengals. It did, but he still started this year. He still started. Wonder why Joe Burrow got hurt. He is a big guard, though. He's like 335 pounds. He's a big-ass guard. All right. So enough about Tyler Linderbaum and sidebar. Moving on to the next guy. We've covered all seven positions of need: wide receiver, defensive tackle, safety, edge, linebacker, left guard, and center. So now there's three guys left on my list, and these are guys who just make sense for this team, right? They're either really good where they were at, or they have some growing potential, And maybe one of you guys named one of these guys off before. Let me see. Ah, yes, John Robert. He's one of them. You spelled his name wrong, so that's why I was confused. But yeah. See, that's the best thing to sign them as bonus instead of putting it on the books. So that if you sign to a bonus, it's going to be on the books either way. So all restructure does is you take their base salary or part of their base salary. It can be all of it or part of it. You take the base salary, write it as a check. He's going to be on the team this year, right? So here's your check for your base salary. And then they take whatever that amount of money that they restructured and they spread it among the remaining years of his contract. So if he's got two more years and they restructure $8 million, you add $4 million to the remaining 2 years. They could also extend him. I think he's got plenty of juice left in the tank. So it's another thing they could do. Okay, and I don't know why everyone keeps talking about trading down. Me either. It's crazy talk. Would you take the linebacker from Georgia, Allen, at 26? Yes, I would. Yes. I know I was late. You probably already talked about. No. I have not talked draft at all. I've been talking purely free agency and then whatever was brought up in the crowd. So whatever it is, you want to bring it up, bring it up. So the next player, though, is not Cameron Curl. Actually, you know what? The hell with it. I already said it. He's on the list. He's next now. Cameron Curl of the LA Rams. Dude is a dog. He's a beast. He's a MFing problem. I do like Thompson better because of the coverage. But Cameron Curl, graded as a 73.1 overall, Thompson 68.7. So overall, Thompson better. Cameron Curl, 66.1 coverage grade. Thompson was in the 69.2. Cameron Curl, pass rush grade 62.6. I don't care about this for a safety. That's Cole Bishop's job as of right now, so give me Cole Bishop. 60.5 for Jalen Thompson. So not much of a difference there. Run defense grade, Cameron Curl, 84.7. That's impressive. But again, I believe that that's going to be more of on the role of Cole Bishop. Now, we're splitting hairs here on this one. 63.2 run defense grade, not a bad run defense grade for Jalen Thompson. Also counting on the team he played for. Cameron Curl is 26 years old, so he's a year younger. He's 6'2", 198. Jalen Thompson is 5'11", 190, so size not too far off, about 8 pounds and 3 inches. Which actually, that's kind of a big difference. You know what? I might prefer Cameron Curl. I might prefer Cameron Curl. Yeah. Wow, I didn't look at him as closely as I thought I did. Damn. Well, that's great. Let me look at the numbers. Numbers overall. Solo career tackles, solo tackles, 87. Thompson, 72. Let's see. Interceptions for Cameron Curl, 2. Passer rating allowed, 82.4. Thompson, 98.4. So my one question about these two guys is this. Was the surrounding cast around them somebody who or people who were helping them and being conducive to their success, or was it players that were contributing to failure? That's where I'd say here, because I think talent-wise they're about the same, and they're only a year apart in age. I might still prefer Cameron Curl. I don't know. He's bigger. I think Thompson's faster and better in coverage. But those other variables, if you do that, that makes Cole Bishop able to do more things. Let me bring up Cole Bishop and see his production. Cole Bishop, 6'2", 207. Wow, he's a big safety. Okay. 70.7 overall grade, 73.7 in coverage, so better than both of them in coverage. Pass rush grade 62.8, which is about the same as Jalen Thompson, and then 64.5 run defense grade. Wow, okay. And Cameron Curl was a 73.1. So he's better overall grade than Cole Bishop. But Cole Bishop's way better in coverage. Yeah. Way better. Like 7 points better. Maybe eight. Cole Bishop had three interceptions, so more interceptions than both of them. He allowed a passer rating of 37. What? Cole Bishop allowed a passer rating of 37 when targeted this year. Am I reading that right? Yards per reception allowed 11. Total pressures 5. PBUs 4. Receptions allowed 15. He only allowed 15 catches this year? No wonder we were so good against tight ends. Dude, I'm getting excited about Cole Bishop. Give me either one of those two guys. Cole Bishop's safety number one on this team. That don't even matter. And he had an old guy and a bum playing next to him. He had a bum in Taylor Rapp who was injured, so and he was making business decisions, obviously. And then you had Taylor Jordan Poyer, who wow, I'm so excited. I can't even get my mouth working right. Jordan Poyer, who's older, knows the scheme better and made the defense way better when he took over for Taylor Rapp. But geez, man, Cole Bishop is a freaking dog. Whoa, 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 whoa. Cole, what are you doing, baby? It's officially my new favorite player on this defense. It's been Matt Milano since he was drafted. Even if he was hurt, he was still my favorite guy. Cole Bishop, baby. Between him and Deion Walker, my favorite players on his defense. Just based on the potential. Cole Bishop, holy shoot. All right, guys, well, moving on to the next guy. I think this one's obvious. I'm gonna preface this with this. I think this wasn't obvious because we've seen him before. He's never been on our team, but we've seen him before. Right, he's another guy at linebacker who is probably obviously a fit for this defense, like Shaq Thompson, who played in a 3-4 before, like Bobby Wagner, who's a freaking dog. This guy played for Jim Leonard last year in Denver. Linebacker Alex Singleton from the Denver Broncos. Now, this guy had a good year. However, he is 32 years old. So like I was saying about the linebackers, a lot of these guys are older. 6'2", 240 pounds, 32 years old. PFF grade of 70.4. Run defense grade of 82.9. Sign me the hell up. Because sign me up. I'll take it. Pass rush grade, 64.9. So he's not as good as Bobby Wagner, but it's probably cheaper. I bring them both in and see who costs less. If the price tag is negligible, you get more years out of Singleton. So that's a factor as well. But man, oh man. Coverage grade 56.7. That's better than Wagner's. The other two grades are not quite as good as Wagner, but the coverage grade is better. Now, rolling down the strip, 84 solo tackles and 48 assisted tackles puts him at about 132 total tackles. He had one forced fumble, 50 stops. Wow. One sack, 12 missed tackles, and a lot of passer rating of 109. So not a coverage guy. Total pressures, 15. Total snaps, 1,029. Run defense snaps, 355. Pass rush snaps, 87. Cover snaps, 587. So I might rather Shaq Thompson than both Bobby Wagner and Singleton just based on the coverage grade and his ability to still run downhill. And he's younger than both of them. Or yeah, he's 31, I think. But Singleton, we know he fits the defense and we know his play style and we know he's aggressive. See, I'm happy with Bishop and Harrison for years to come with Benford. Oh, Hairston. Autocorrect, maybe. Ooh, feel that crack. But Hairston, Bishop, Benford, beautiful. Beautiful. I didn't know he allowed a 37 passer rating. That's insane. Unless that's a typo. Maybe I need to go to ESPN.com. That's crazy. Check another source just to see. Cole Bishop, Buffalo Bills. Let's see. Doesn't say. What a Google. In the 2025 NFL season, Buffalo Bills safety Cole Bishop established himself as an elite coverage defender, allowing a passer rating of just 29.6 to 37.1 when targeted, which ranked first among NFL safeties with at least 300 to 800 snaps. His performance featured three interceptions and significant improvements in his second year, making him a top-performing rookie to second-year jump player. Holy crap. I did not know that. I know ball, right? I didn't know that. Confirmed. Cole Bishop is a damn dog, and we're going to have to pay that man when it's time to pay him because that man is a beast. He can play deep safety. He can play down by the line. Get him somebody who can match that energy. Get him Cameron Curl, baby. Get him Cameron Curl. That would give us two interchangeable safeties like Cole, like Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde, but more athletic. Allow me to verify Cameron Curl's athleticism. We know Cole Bishop's. Let me see. Let's see what he did at the combine, baby. Get his athleticism grades. Ran a 4.6. Okay, so not super fast, but for a safety, 4.6 is definitely acceptable. All right, now let's look at my other guy, Jalen Thompson. Just for the athleticism sake. I'm not saying that I would prefer one or the other based solely on the combine because that's stupid, but Jalen Thompson. RAS. Apparently he didn't go to the combine. The hell? 40-yard dash, 4.47. Okay. Okay. 4.47. He does have short arms though, so that's kind of a problem. Yep, give me Cameron Curl. Give me Cameron Curl. All right. So now that we are past Alex Singleton. Love you, buddy. All right. So we're Alex Singleton. I like him. If we can't get Shaq Thompson back, if we can't get Bobby Wagner to come, right here. Bam. Him or Strinad. Another linebacker out there from the Broncos. He's 30 this year, I believe. If I go linebacker. Justin Strinad, he's 30. I'll punch him in the system real quick just because. And then we know he's a fit based on the fact that he just played in that system and played well. Alex Singleton. Justin Strinad. Although I do believe he was rotational. He kind of backed up the two inside guys. He was a 76 overall grade. Wow, okay. He's currently 29. He'll be 30 this season. 6'3", 235. Low mileage, snap count 575. 28 tackles that were solo, 5 sacks. This guy might be a diamond in the rough here. Holy, what? 76 overall PFF grade, 66 run defense grade, 72.5 pass rush grade, 73.8 coverage grade. This guy can do it all. New favorite linebacker, Justin Strnad. Let's go. Sign me up. Justin Strnad. Let me look at his raw numbers. Go down here. Solo tackles, 28. He played 575 snaps, 197 of them on run defense, 77 pass rush snaps, 301 coverage snaps. And he graded out like that? Solo tackle. Okay, we already went over that. Forced fumbles, 0. Stops, 23. Sacks, 5. Missed tackles, 5. Passer rating allowed, 91.5. Total pressures, 17. Well, that snap count, that's pretty damn good. Wow. Okay. All right, Justin. See, I do believe that our defensive coordinator poaches from the Broncos. Me too. He might just bring in Singleton and Strnad and be done with that. I don't think they can be very expensive. See, was Strnad's $5.5 million per year? Average value? Yeah, I'm in. We can have Matt Milano for basically the same number, I think. Let me see. Matt Milano value outside of here is 1.49. Oh, wow. If we get it for that low, bring him back. Shoot. I'm kidding, by the way. If you bring Matt Milano back, you got to trade away Terrell Bernard. Now, the last player I have on my board, as we've seen, some of these things have changed. Last one is an older player who I've wanted the Bills to go after for a long time. He's been the best player on that team since the departure of their Hall of Fame quarterback. That is edge rusher Cameron Jordan of the New Orleans Saints. Cam Jordan has been a game wrecker his whole career. Now, this past year, his pass rush grade dropped. He's 36 years old, so this would be a one-year, let's see if you still got it kind of deal. Let's see if you can help us out. At 287 pounds, though, he'd more likely be a backup to Ed Oliver than he would be to a Rousseau or anything like that. So he would be a on-the-line defensive end rather than an edge rusher, right? Run defense grade is through the roof, 82.1. Out of our three big guys in the middle of that front, you want guys who can penetrate and stop the run. Your edges to be able to rush the quarterback, and your linebackers to be able to shoot downhill, blitz, and make tackles. Your coverage is done mostly by your safeties and your corners. Linebackers do it to cover some, but they're not as good. And occasionally, a edge rusher or a defensive outside linebacker, which would be your edge rushers in a 3-4, will pull some coverage duties, right? If they're running 4, which most teams only send 4, you know, to the quarterback or to attack the pocket, one of those edge rushers is in coverage, usually in a flat, but sometimes they'll cover, you know, a hook flat a little further down, 10 yards, you know, 15 yards. From the line of scrimmage to about 15 yards up, that's usually their range. They usually don't go outside of that. Cam Jordan wouldn't be doing that. He's not dropping the coverage. He is running to get two running backs. He had 10 sacks this year, so I don't know why his pass rush grade is so low. 31 tackles, 8 assists, 1 forced fumble. So he's still producing. You get him in as a rotational defensive lineman instead of an edge rusher, and Cam Jordan could be a problem. See, do the Broncos have any good pass rushers that are up for contract? I can look. Let me just finish up with this Cam Jordan thing. Bring home Mac from the Chargers to Buffalo where it all started. Okay, gotcha. You guys using this voice to Texas. Hard. Y'all accents messed up. Yeah, Cam Jordan, he had freaking 31 solo tackles, 8 assisted tackles, one forced fumble, 33 stops. So he had more stops than he did solo tackles. I don't know how that happens. Or he did have 39, so never mind. He had, out of his 39 total tackles, 33 of those were stops. Nice. 10 sacks, 21 hurries, 5 QB hits, 36 total pressures, 2 batted passes, and he only played 589 snaps total. 336 of those were pass rush snaps, and 235 were run defense snaps. So, yeah. Bring him in, put him on the line. He can rotate in with Ed Oliver. You have TJ Sanders and Deion Walker rotating on the other side. You bring in big fat guy like DJ Reader to be the nose. You have a guy like Zion Logan on the team who you can maybe potentially see if he's, going to be worth anything. Let me look at his numbers real quick. Zion Logan. See if they have a PFF grading on him. BD 3.6 as a backup, not bad. He had 1 sack, 1 tackle. He had 1 everything, I guess. Yeah, not bad. You maybe keep him as your freaking NT2. Could do worse. And he's cheap. We know he's cheap. His run defense grade sucks, but he's also in the wrong defense. All right, so to the question at hand by my man Joey Hatch before we get out of here. Do the Broncos have any edge rushers we could steal? I don't know, but SpotTrack does. Edge. Let's see. The answer to your question is a solid no from what I'm seeing. Not one single edge rusher available is a Bronco, and I'm pretty far down the list. Yeah, not one. Oh, one. Dondria Tillman. He is like 5th from the bottom of the list. He's 28 years old. He's accrued 2 seasons. Wow. He must be one of those COVID players who stayed in college too long. It says he's worth $5.326 million. So let me see what he did to earn that kind of praise. Dondria Tillman, let's see. PFF grade 68.5. Overall, pass rush grade 62.3. Run defense grade 72.3. 16 solo tackles, 5 sacks. Okay. 10 assisted tackles, 14 stops, 15 hurries, 4 hits, 24 pressures, and 1 batted pass. You know what? Bring him in and see what he's got. I wouldn't count on him being the guy. I'd still go after a Khalil Mack. I'd still go after, a freaking Kuntz, like I named, or if not one of the older guys. But yeah, like, dude put up numbers for a rotational backup. Why not? Well, guys, this concludes my show. I think I'm probably gonna do my next if something breaks this week, you'll see me next week. If not, probably not. You'll definitely see me in 2 weeks. I know the combine is coming up. Let me look and see when the combine is. Let me close a bunch of these windows because I had these things all open in another browser. Combine. February 23rd. Yeah, okay. So this coming Sunday, the 22nd. I might have to do a show just to discuss the combine itself. Like going into that's like the day before the combine. So I'm probably going to have to do a show next week. All right, guys. Well, it looks like I'm going to see you next week. Much love to you. You guys have a great rest of your day. Enjoy your Sunday. Do good. Be good. God bless. And freaking go Bills. And I'm out of here. Peace.